الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class, I began reading the chapter the author he mentioned, حفظه الله، ما جاء في قتل المسلم بغير حق عمدا وخطأ. What has been mentioned regarding the killing of a Muslim unjustly, intentionally or by mistake, intentionally or by mistake. We have seen a number of evidences that the author had mentioned, حفظه الله تعالى, from the book and likewise from the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. We have seen that these evidences and many more that indicate the tremendous threat and the great warning for one who takes the life of a believer intentionally, for the one who takes the life of a believer intentionally. Likewise, we have seen as well the proper understanding of this issue, and although it is indeed very severe and a great affair, it is lesser than major disbelief, and it is lesser than shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And although it is a hideous crime, it does not take a person out of the fold of that Islam, so long as he believes it to be a crime, and he does not believe it to be lawful. And he does not believe it to be lawful. As for fear to believe, to take the life of a believer lawful, then no doubt disbelief here will invalidate his shahada and take him out of the fold of that Islam. Take him out of the fold of that Islam. But the one who believes that it's unlawful for him, yet he does it following his desires, that likes like this, intentionally killing another believer, then this is a major sin. Rather, some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned, is the most severest of all sin that is lesser than shirk. That is lesser than shirk and major disbelief. And the greatest of all sins from the sins that do not take a person out of the fold of Islam. So we had come to the narration in our previous class that the author he mentioned, حفظه الله وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من حمل علينا السلاح فليس منا رواه البخاري ومسلم. And from Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, he said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, whoever raises weapons against us is not one of us. Whoever raises weapons against us is not one of us. It's narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The people of knowledge, as they mentioned, this is from those terms here. فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. He's not from us. He's not from us. And he meaning that this is a major affair, and this is not something light. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ would free himself from a person who does a particular action or makes a particular statement is an indication that the affair is major. It's an indication that the affair is major. But if we look at these issues, we find that they're not of the severity of shirk, of associating partners with Allah or invalidators from the nullifiers, or a nullifier from the nullifiers of the religion. So therefore, it's considered a major sin. It's considered a major sin. So this text here, laysa minna, he's not from us, or that the Prophet is free from such and such, or from so and so. The Prophet is free from so and so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or if the faith is negated, if the faith is being negated, la yazni zani hina yazni wa huwa mu'min. The one who commits fornication, he doesn't commit fornication while he's a believer. Wa la yasriqu sariqu hina yasriqu wa huwa mu'min. And the thief, he does not steal while he's stealing and he's a believer. So here the faith is being negated. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, other examples he mentioned, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, I swear by Allah he doesn't believe, three times. And whenever he clarified who that was sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqah, the one whom his neighbor is not safe from his harms and ills. The one whom his neighbor is not safe from his harms or from his ills. So what is being negated here, and what is intended, is not the foundation of iman. It's not aslu al-iman, but rather it is al-iman al-wajib. Al-iman al-wajib. Al-iman al-wajib. This is what is being negated. The obligatory rights of faith. The obligatory level of faith. This is an indication that this affair is an obligatory right of faith that must be established. If it's not established, then a person is considered sinning. And it's from the major affairs. So it's a right that must be performed. It's a right that must be performed. Either one, he must establish it or he must avoid it. So if the faith is negated, or if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam freed himself from an individual because of an action or statement, this is an indication that this affair is an obligation. It's a fair is an obligation. An obligation that either must be established and performed, or it's a prohibition that must be avoided. It must be avoided, meaning it's not something that's recommended, because the faith will not be negated. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not free himself from someone for affairs that are recommended. So this is important to realize. And likewise, it's not negating the foundation of faith, thus expelling the person from al-Islam. Rather, it's negating the obligation of faith, meaning that the person who falls into this affair is weak, his faith falls deficient, although he still has faith. So the intent from the likes of these narrations here is a zajr wal rada', a zajr wal rada', yani to reprimand the people and to be a means to prohibit them whenever they hear the likes of this. Man hamala alayna silah, whoever carries weapons against us, and he raises weapons against us, like he's going to fight us, or pointing weapons towards us, or taking arms against us, and the likes like this, فليس منا. He's not from us. He's not from us, meaning he's not from us upon our way. He's not following our legislation properly. He is not establishing the religion in the manner prescribed. He's not fulfilling the rites of Iman. He's not from those who are on the proper way, that if they die in that manner, they're promised into paradise with no punishment. Rather, they're from those who are lesser than that, those who have violated some of the rites of their faith, although they're still believers. Although they're still believers. There are other narrations similar. Man ghashyana falaysa minna. Whoever deceives us, whoever tricks us, he's not from us. Whoever tricks us, whether it's in business or in any affair in life, man ghashyana falaysa minna. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever tricks us, whoever deceives us, he's not from us. Again, not meaning that he's not from the Muslims, not taking him out of the fold of Islam, but meaning he's not from those who are establishing the religion properly. Because from the rights of a believer is that he will honor the blood of a believer. He'll not raise a weapon towards his brother. And likewise, he will honor his wealth and property, and he will honor his reputation. He will not defame that or violate that in any manner whatsoever. He will not deceive him or trick him. Rather, he'll be honest with him and truthful. Rather, he'll be honest with him and truthful. He'll not fight against him. Rather, he will fight with him. And if he needs to stand up for an affair to help him, and then he will help him in a manner prescribed, whether it's taking him by the hand and advising him, or stopping him from any types of injustice or oppression and the likes like this. But in any case, he will not raise his weapon towards his brother. So those who do that, they're not from us. And those who trick us, they're not from us, meaning they're not from those who are on the proper path, the proper understanding, not taking them out of the fold of Islam. To summarize, meaning that there are Muslims with weak faith. Meaning there are Muslims with weak faith. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he mentioned a beautiful example with regards to this, and he made the example of individuals that are all working together. Individuals that are all working together. All of them in general, they're working very hard, performing their rights that they have to do for their job. And one of them, he's lazy. One of them, he's lazy. He's not working as hard as the others. He's taking advantage of the time and the situation. And then at the end of the day, when it's time to get paid, he steps up hoping to get the same wages as everybody else. And the others, they look at him and they say, no, he's not from us. Whenever everybody starts getting their pay, their equal pay, they say, no, he's not from us. He's not from us. Not meaning he's not from those, he shouldn't get paid at all, but he's not from those who are working hard and striving and making great effort to fulfill the rights of his job. Rather, he was lazy. So therefore, he should get lesser than everybody else. Therefore, his wages should be lesser than everybody else, because his efforts were lesser than everybody else. So this is the understanding here, not taking him out of the fold, not declaring him to not deserve any wages whatsoever. Rather, he would earn the wages that he worked for, but nothing more. But nothing more. So he's not from us, man. He's not from us who are striving hard and working hard in our job and taking care of our business in the manner prescribed, who deserve our wages in full. Who deserve our wages in full, whether he's from those other ones, those others who are lazy, and those who are taking advantage of the situation. So definitely he did some work he should be recompensed for, but it's not of the level of those who are working hard. So a similar understanding here, like Saminda, he's not from us, meaning he's not from us those who are striving against their soul to uphold the rights of Islam and seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and check their eyes and their tongue and check their lusts and their desires with the reins of the legislation upon obedience in public and in private. Rather, they have been tried by their whims and overcome by their lusts and fallen into sin. So they're not on the same level. فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Also understood as well, لَيْسَ مِنَّا, any of those in that manner, in that state, they're not from those who, if they die in that manner, they're promised to enter paradise without any reckoning or any punishment. Rather, they are no doubt believers and promised paradise, but not without reckoning or punishment. فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. This is the meaning here. And this is the intent. Again, to refute the ideology of the Khawarij and those who are affected by their doubts and misconceptions, by their doubts and misconceptions. So whenever we see this here, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, or whenever we see وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ, or the faith is being negated in one sense or another, in one context or another, then what is intended here is al-Iman al-Wajib. Al-Iman al-Wajib. We have discussed this before, and it's of utmost importance to understand these affairs. We have Asr al-Iman, we have al-Iman al-Wajib, we have al-Iman al-Mustahib. Asr al-Iman is the foundation of faith that one must bring to establish his religion and enter into the fold of that Islam. After that, there's a level of faith one must complete. Their rights of the deen that one must establish in his life daily for his religion to be good, for his religion to be strong, for his shahada to be heavy. There are obligations that must be established and prohibitions that must be avoided. In performing these affairs, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the person, his iman will become complete, fulfilling the obligatory rights of his faith. Fulfilling the obligatory rights of his faith. To summarize, that lies in establishing the obligation by performing them in the manner prescribed, sincerely for the sake of Allah, hoping for the reward in the hereafter, and avoiding the prohibitions and leaving them off out of fear and out of fear of the wrath and anger of Allah and his punishment. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this manner, the person, a believer, he will fulfill the rights of faith. After that, there are other rights of faith likewise, but they're not obligatory. They're not obligatory. And once one has completed these rights, he will strive in that field, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِكُلٍ دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. And all of them, they will have ranks and levels according to their deeds. According to their deeds. So the likes of these texts here, what is being negated is the obligatory aspect of Iman, not the foundation of Iman, and nor the recommended aspect of al-Iman, meaning that the one who perpetrates or violates these affairs, يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنًا نَاقِصَ الْإِيمَانِ, يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنًا نَاقِصَ الْإِيمَانِ, he'll be a believer with deficient faith. يعني he'll be a believer with deficient faith. مُؤْمِنٌ بِإِيمَانِهِ وَفَاسِقٌ بِكَبِيرَتِهِ, he's a believer because he has Iman, but he's a fasiq, a corrupt sinner, because of the major sin that he is committing. Because of the major sin that he is committing. So in any case, this is a clarification of this affair, a warning and a threat, the dangers of violating the sanctity of the blood of a believer, even if you raise a weapon towards a believer, raising weapons towards a believer to frighten him and the likes of this, or so on and so forth, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he freed himself from the likes of that person. He freed himself from the likes of that person. The author, he says, وَعَنْ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يَحِلُّ دَمُ امْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِإِحْدَى ثَلَاثٍ لَا يَحِلُّ دَمُ امْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِإِحْدَى ثَلَاثٍ. Also, it's been reported from Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, it is not permissible to shed the blood of a Muslim who testifies that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that I am the Messenger of Allah, except in three cases. Except in three cases. This is a clarification likewise of that which has preceded, illa bilhaq. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بالحق, except with right. Any of those who do not take the life of a soul that Allah has forbidden and declared sacred, except in right. These are examples here of that right, when it will be lawful. When it will be lawful. لا يحل, it's not lawful. دم امرئ مسلم, the blood of a Muslim person. يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. This is a Muslim. But to emphasize this affair, he's a Muslim. And he declares and bears witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the messenger of Allah, إِلَّا بِإِحْدَى ثَلَاثٍ, except in three cases. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, النَّفْسُ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالثَّيِّبُ الزَّانِي وَالْمُفَارِقُ لِدِينِهِ التَّارِكُ لِلْجَمَاعَةِ, رواه البخاري والمسلم, except in three cases. The first one, a life for a life, any meaning in the legal retribution. The legal retribution. And a married person who commits illegal sexual intercourse. A married person who commits illegal sexual intercourse. And what does it mean by a married person? A person who has been married lawfully. In the deen of Islam, his marriage was considered lawful in Islamic legislation. And then after that, he had illegal sexual intercourse. Whether he's still married or not. Whether he was still married or not once he had been in a contract and the marriage is established Islamically. Now he becomes muhsan. Now he becomes muhsan, and he meaning that he has married and he has tasted the sweetness of that marriage life, and then later after that he violates those rights and had illegal sexual intercourse. This is the one who will be stoned. This is the one who will be stoned. As for the one who did not marry, then he has another ruling. He has another ruling, and that is he will be lashed. He will be lashed. 80 lashes. This is a different case. This is a different case. But the point is now, النفسُ بالنفس وثيب الزاني والمفارق لدينه التارك للجماعة. And likewise, the one who abandons his religion and separates from the community. Separates from the community. Abandoning his religion, meaning he apostated. He apostated. It's narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. This is also from the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says, حفظه الله وعنه أيضا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سباب المسلم فسوق وقتاله كفر وقتاله كفر رواه البخاري ومسلم. Also from Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, insulting a Muslim is disobedience, it's fusuq, sin, and fighting him is disbelief, kufr. Narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. سباب المسلم فسوق. You need to call him names and talk bad to him and blame him and censor him in his face. This is called a sibab, or wasab, washatama, a mushatama, to call a person names. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to do that to a Muslim, sibabuhu, calling him names in his face and talking bad about him and mentioning ill things about him directly. This is considered fusuq. This is considered fusuq, any corruption, any great sin. Waliyadhu billah. And the people of knowledge, they mention al-fisq lughatan al-khuruj. Al-fisq, yani al-fusuq min al-fisq. Fasqa yafsuqu fisqan. Fafasqa an amri rabbihi, ay kharaja. Kharaja an amri rabbihi. So al-fisq hu al-khuruj, to go out from something. To go out from something, linguistically. But what is intended here, yani in the legislation, al-khuruj an ta'ati Allahi wa rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-khuruj. And ta'ati Allahi wa rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to go away from and abandon or to leave the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal fusuq huwa al fujur. Wal fusuq huwa al fujur. And fusuq, yani this great sin and wickedness, this evil is fujur, is corruption. It's corruption. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. So, as-sibab. As-sibab, yani is to curse and to call names. Is to curse and to call names. Was-sibabu fusuq. Sibabu al-muslimi fusuq. To call a Muslim names and to talk bad in his face and to insult him and to censor him and the likes like this. This is considered fusuq. Yani meaning this is a major sin. It's not allowed. Something that is not proper. It's not proper. The people of knowledge, as they mentioned, لأنه خروج عن الذي يجب من احترام المسلم وحرمة عرضه. Because a person, he's going out. What the right that a Muslim has is that he should be honored, and that his reputation should be honored likewise. The right a Muslim has is that he should be respected, and he should be dealt with respect, and that his honor, and that his reputation should be honored. So by defaming him, and censoring him, and insulting him in his face, and the likes like this, then this is contrary. This is contrary. So he's going away from that. He's going away from that which is required. He's going away from that which is the given right from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a believer, that his blood is sacred, that his wealth is sacred, and that his reputation is sacred, that his reputation and honor is sacred. So this is considered fusuq, waliyadhu billah, waliyadhu billah. And also, as-sabbu aslan min a'mali ahli al-fisq. In the first place, cursing, insulting people, and calling them names, so on and so forth, this is from the deeds of the people of corruption and sin, not from the ways of the people of piety and forbearance. This is from the ways of the people of sin, transgression and recklessness, not from the ways of the people of piety and righteousness and forbearance. So, سباب المسلمي فسوق. سباب المسلمي فسوق. Many times فسوق is used to refer to sins that are greater than al-ma'asi. وَكَرَّحَ إِلَّيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. And Allah has made kufr, disbelief, detest what to you. And likewise, al fusuq and al isyan. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is going in order. Kufr, no doubt, is severe, the worst of these sins. And after that is al fusuq, which would include the major sins. And then after that, al isyan, al yani al ma'asi, the rest of the sins. So the word al fisq or al fusuq is used to refer to sins many times that are intended, what is intended from them is they're more severe than just simple disobedience, which is also severe, but they have levels. They have levels. So the point is to clarify that insulting a believer is nothing light. Insulting a believer, calling him names, defaming him and the likes, in front of his face is nothing light. And if one were to do that behind his back, it's even worse. Whenever he cannot defend himself, al-ghiba, and the likes like this, this is even more severe. Whenever a person, he would insult his brother and defame him, whenever he's not even able to defend himself, and he behind his back, like a coward, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So, السِّبَاب is not غِيبَة. الْغِيبَة ذِكْرُ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ يعني في غَيْبَتِهِ ذِكْرُ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ يعني في غَيْبَتِهِ. To mention your brother in a manner he does like, in a manner he does not like, meaning in his absence. This is called الْغِيبَة. This is called الْغِيبَة. As for السِّبَاب, and this is in his face insulting him. This is in his face insulting him. وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ And to fight him is kufr. And to fight him is kufr. Al-Baghawi رحمه الله, he narrated this narration in Sharh Sunnah. After that he mentioned, he says, إِنَّمَا هُوَ كُفْرٌ دُونَ كُفْرٌ إِنَّمَا هُوَ كُفْرٌ دُونَ كُفْرٌ. What is intended by here is by kufr is a type of kufr that's lesser than major kufr, meaning that there's aspects of kufr that will take a person out of the religion, and there are aspects of kufr that do not reach that level. That do not reach that level. And these affairs here, they're considered kufr, yani from the fact that they're severe and they're nothing light, but they have not reached the severity that they would expel a person from the religion nor uproot his faith from the foundation. So this term here will be used to emphasize the severity of the affair sometimes, but not to mean that a person, he's a disbeliever. Not to mean that a person, he's a disbeliever. And this is from the ways of the disbelievers. To fight Muslims, that's from the ways of the disbelievers, not from the believers. We have seen that likewise in the narration that has preceded. فَلَتَرَجِعُوا بَعْدِي كُفَّارًا يَضْرِبُوا بَعْضُكُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضٍ. And do not return and fall back after me, disbelievers, striking the necks of one another. Meaning that that's the way of the disbelievers. It's the disbelievers who would do that. So after I pass, do not start fighting amongst each other and striking your necks like disbelievers. Not meaning that that is disbelief, but that's the way of the disbelievers. And also to indicate the severity of this affair. So what is intended here is kufr duna kufr. Kufr duna kufr. And the word kufr here in the likes of these texts is used as a mubalagha. يعني مبالغة في التحذير من ذلك المبالغة في التحذير من هذه الأفعال. To emphasize with great emphasis that these things are not allowed, and to warn and caution the people from them. So when a person hears this, he will back away and he will think twice before falling into the likes of these affairs. Also, there's other principles some of the people of not, as they mentioned, with regards to understanding these affairs. That the word his kufr. وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. This is nakira. It's nakira. So meaning it's a type of kufr. It's not al-kufr. It's not al-kufr. Al-mukhrij min al-millah. It's not the disbelief that takes one out of the religion, but it's kufrun. يعني نوع من أنواع الكفر. It's a type of kufr. It's a type of disbelief. It's from the actions of the disbelievers. It's a major crime. But it's not the type of disbelief that takes a person out of Islam. So when a person hears this, he will back away and he will not get involved. He will back away and he will not get involved. So in this narration, we see that there are a number of benefits. There are a number of benefits. From that is the ruling of cursing a Muslim and insulting him in his face, and likewise the severity of that. And then after that as well, the severity of fighting a believer. So here it starts out with fusuq, and then after that it leads to kufr. It is to kufr. So again, the term kufr also is used here to emphasize that this is greater than the first one. Sibahu fusuq. So that's one thing. Wakitaluhu kufrun. This is to go higher. This is higher than fusuq. So this is a type of sin, but it's greater than the other one, more severe. Meaning, again, so that the person hears this, he will back away. He will not get involved in that. He will not fall into kufr, even if it's kufr duna kufr, even if it's a type of disbelief that is lesser than major disbelief. That is lesser than the major disbelief. Also, Al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, he mentioned a narration indicating the reason for this narration. So, as we know, we have and have taken it previously, what is called Asbab al-Nuzul. Asbab al-Nuzul, it's a type of science. Asbabu al-Nuzul. What does that mean? The reason for the revelation. So, there are certain ayat, they have Asbab al-Nuzul. Not all of them, but certain ayat, they have Asbab al-Nuzul. There are ayat that have reasons for the revelation. Reason for the revelation. Any events that occurred or things that happened, and then Allah, He revealed verses from above the heavens and concerning those affairs. Concerning those affairs. This is a science from the science of Al-Islam, from the science of studying the Quran. Asbab al-Nuzul is very beneficial. And in order to understand that, what he must understand? The science of hadith. The science of hadith, because these reasons for the revelation of these verses are clarified in the narrations. Clarified in the narrations. I mentioned a book about this before by a great scholar. Who remembers that? A book. It's called Sahih and Asbab al-Nuzul by Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala. It's not a large book, but it's very, very beneficial. Very, very beneficial. He collected in that work in order from the Mus'haf, all of the narrations that he declared to be authentic with regards to Asbab al-Nuzul. Asbab النزول رحمه الله تعالى رحمه الله تعالى. Also in the science of hadith, so here this is with regards to the Quran and verses, ayat from the Quran. There's reasons why specific verses were revealed. Also with regards to the science of hadith, there's another science that's similar like this one. What is that called? Asbab al-Wurud. Asbab al-Wurud. The reason for the narration. It's called Asbab al-Wurud, Wurud al-Wurud. Any of the reason for the narration. So there are some narrations that happened or they occurred because of events that took place and circumstances. So these circumstances led the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say or do something. To say or do something. So this narration here, Sibab al-Muslimi fusukum wa qitaluhu kufr. Hada al-Hadith lahu sababun bi wurudihi. This narration here has a reason why it came. And Al-Baghawi, he mentioned that, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his work, Sharh Sunnah. He mentioned with his chain, and Amr ibn al-Nu'man ibn Muqarrin al-Muzani, radiallahu anhu, qala intaha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila majlis min majalis al-Ansar. Wa rajulun min al-Ansar kana urifa bil-bada'i wa mushatama al-nas. Wa mushatamat al-nas. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came to a gathering from the gatherings of the Ansar. And among them was a man from the Ansar who was known for a lowly tongue and a foul language and bad speech and insulting the people. This is something that he's known for. This is something that he's known for. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, obviously he noticed this affair. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sibab al-Muslimi fusuqun wa qitaluhu kufr. To insult a Muslim is fusuq, and to fight him is kufr, and to fight him is kufr. فَقَالَ ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ. So that man, he heard that, and he said, وَاللَّهِ لَا أُسَابُ رَجُلًا. He said, وَاللَّهِ لَا أُسَابُ. He said, I swear by Allah, I'm not cursing nobody. I'm not cursing nobody. Meaning that he heard the narration, and he immediately yani, believed in that, and he checked his affair. He checked his affair. Also in this narration we see, and this is from he was tried with this affair. He was known from that affair. But as soon as he heard the advice of the Prophet, the narration, as soon as he heard the hadith, then he swore by Allah, he's not going to do that. He swore by Allah, he's not going to do that. So we should be in the same manner. Whenever we hear these narrations and we learn about the way of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we should say, I swear by Allah, I'm not going to do that no more. I swear by Allah, I'm not going to do that no more. Or I'm going to establish that now. And the likes like this. And he may have determination. Strong determination and willpower to obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also in this narration we see that the ta'zim haqq al-Muslim with taqeed ala hurmati دمه وعرضه. You see here, the right of the believer is magnified with Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's something that's held in high in high regards. And likewise, to emphasize as well the sanctity of his blood and his honor and reputation. The sanctity of his blood and reputation. So the blood of a Muslim is sacred, and likewise his reputation, as well as his wealth and property, as well as his wealth and property. Also, in this narration, the people of Nod, as I mentioned, that there is a refutation for the Murji'ah, a refutation for the Murji'ah, who claim that the sins do not affect the Iman, that the sins do not affect the Iman. And if you have Iman, then Alhamdulillah, whether you obey Allah or disobey Allah, it doesn't matter. So long as you make the Shahada, your Iman is safe. Your Iman is safe. But this narration here is a clear refutation with regard to that, because Sibabu al-Muslimi Fusuq, meaning it weakens the faith. It weakens the faith. وَقِتَاءُ الْقُفْرُ, meaning it weakens it even more. Meaning it weakens it even more. Meaning it weakens it even more. So to emphasize the affair that this kufr here is considered kufrun duna kufr. وَقِتَاءُهُ kufr. And to fight a Muslim is kufr. What is intended? It's a major sin. It's a severe affair, but it's not of the severity of major disbelief. It does not expel a person from the fold of Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned in His book, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَاذَا اقْتَتَلُوا. And whenever two parties of believers اقْتَتَلُوا, they start fighting each other. Even اقْتَتَلُوا could mean killing each other. They start fighting each other. They start fighting each other, they start killing each other. If this happens, what do you do? فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Then you rectify and you bring peace between the two of them. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. And if one of them transgresses against the other, then all of you fight together against the one who transgresses until they return back to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ فَأَتْ فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا وَبِالْعَدْلِ فَإِنْ فَأَتْ فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. And if they return, if that transgressing party returns, then rectify between the two of them with justice and with justice and be upright. Indeed, Allah, He loves those who are just. And rectify between the two of them inequality and be just. Indeed, Allah, He loves those who are just, yani in justice. بِالْعَدَلِ وَأَقْسِطُ. بِالْعَدَلِ وَأَقْسِطُ. Yani to rectify between them with justice. And therefore be just. Indeed, Allah, He loves the just. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He considered both parties to be believers, even if they are fighting. There are two parties here, they're fighting. Two parties from the believers. إِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنْ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. If two parties from the Mu'mineen. So Allah has affirmed that they're both parties, they're believers. And then He also affirmed that they're iqtatalu, yaqtatilun, that they're fighting. That they're fighting. So this is something that could occur, although it's not good, but it could occur. So therefore, fighting a believer is not disbelief, because Allah affirmed for them iman. So the word kufr here is not referring to major kufr, because Allah, He affirmed that parties from the believers, they may fight each other, and He also affirmed that they're all believers. And He also affirmed subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are all believers. So this is from the evidence. There are more evidences coming likewise, inshaAllah. So the author, he says now, وَعَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ أَبْغَضُ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثَلَاثًا. أَبْغَضُ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثَلَاثًا. مُلْحِدٌ فِي الْحَرَمِ وَمُبْتَغٍ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَمُطَّلِبُ دَمْرِ امْرِئٍ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ لِيُهْرِقَ دَمَا. رواه Al-Bukhari. And from Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the most hated people to Allah are three. The most hated or detestful people to Allah are three. Any three types. One who deviates in the sacred sanctuary, any in the haram. And one who seeks to revive the traditions of the pre-Islamic period of ignorance, any al-jahiliyyah. The one who seeks to revive the traditions and the ways of al-jahiliyyah. In Islam, and he seeks in Islam to revive the ways of al-jahiliyyah, and one who seeks to shed the blood of a person without right. And one who seeks to shed the blood of a person without right. So this is a shahid here, that this is something that's detestful to Allah. And this is something that is detestful to Allah. It's come in Al-Fath al-Bari that is mentioned. Al-Muradu bi ha'ula'i thalatha annahum abghadu ahli al-ma'asi ila Allahi. Abghadu ahli al-ma'asi ila Allahi. فهو كقوله أكبر الكبائر أكبر الكبائر وإلا فالشرك أبغض إلى الله من جميع المعاصي. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. So it's mentioned in Fath al-Bari by Ibn Hajar رحمه الله. What is intended by these three is that they are the most detestable of the people of disobedience. The most detestable of the people of disobedience. Not absolutely, but those of disobedience. Any from those who disobey Allah while they have faith. Yani meaning that this is similar to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, akbaru al-kaba'ir, the greatest of the major sins. Yani meaning that there are major sins, and then from those major sins, they're the greatest of the major sins. They're the greatest of the major sins. So therefore, there are sinners, and then from the sinners, there's the worst of the sinners. You understand? So there are those who are sinners, and then from them, they're the worst of the sinners. So this is another clarification of what is intended here in refutation of the methodology and understanding of the Khawarij. In refutation of the methodology and understanding of the Khawarij. أَبْغَضُ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثَلَاثًا مُلْحِدُونَ فِي الْحَرَمِ مُلْحِد فِي الْحَرَمِ The most detestful of the people to Allah are three. The first one, مُلْحِد مُلْحِدٌ فِي الْحَرَمِ فِي الْحَرَمِ يعني in the sacred sanctuary in Mecca. In Mecca, يعني the one who was a mulhid. A mulhid يعني is from an ilhad. And that al-had is al-mayl. So what is intended here is the one who inclines away from the truth and inclines away from obedience and from the legislation and the law of Allah and follows his desires and whims. Any into sins or transgression, into sin and transgression, or into innovation and deviation, or even into disbelief and paganism, wa niyadha bina. All of this is called al-had, al-mayl, al-haq ila al-baathil. Al-mayl, al-haq ila al-baathil, bi-anwa'ihi, wa niyadha bina. So this is something that is major. This is something that is major. Yani even the one who intends, وَمَنْ يُرِيدِ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقُهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah, He mentioned in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, just the one who intends to incline to disobedience and to misguidance or deviation or oppression inside the haram, then will cause him to taste a painful punishment. Then will cause him to taste a painful punishment. So sins, no doubt, they are severe. And deviation, no doubt, is great. But inside the sacred lands or sacred times, they become more severe. They become more severe. The sins do not multiply, but the gravity of them becomes greater. But the gravity of them becomes greater. So sinning inside the haram is not like sinning outside of the haram. Deviating inside the haram is not like deviating outside of the haram and the life scientists. So this is the affair here. This is a warning with regards to that. People come to the sacred lands, they must fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise in the sacred times. And bin munasiba hadihi min ashhur al-ashhur al-hurum. Right now we're in those sacred times. This is from the sacred month. Dhul Qa'dah is from the sacred months. And likewise the next month. Dhul Hijjah. And after that in the next month. Al-Muharram. These are all three sacred months back to back, along with Rajab, as well as from the sacred months. So the deeds are more so, the sins are more severe in those sacred times and sacred places. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمُبْتَغِنْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. And the one who seeks to revive the ways of al-jahiliyyah, the one who seeks to revive in Islam the ways of al-jahiliyyah. أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. Is it from the ruling and the judgment of jahiliyyah that they're seeking? And so to judge by other than the book and the sunnah, to judge by other than the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is one of the greatest aspects of jahiliyyah. And alhamdulillah, we have been studying the work of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah with regards to those Masail al-Jahiliyyah. And we've seen a number of them. So a believer, he'll be far from those. He will learn about those affairs in order to avoid them and not to revive them. And reviving them, this is reviving them. Those who do that, they're the most detestful of the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waliyadhu billah. So sunnah al-Jahiliyyah, this has come also, we've seen in previous classes, the narration, which is collected by Imam Muslim. But there's a benefit here to emphasize our discussion from Abi Malik and al-Ash'ari, radiyallahu anhu. We took it, I think, in our last class, or the class before that, in Masail al-Jahiliyyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Arba'un fi ummati min amri al-jahiliyyah, la yatrukunahunna. That there are four affairs from my ummah, that's from the affairs of jahiliyyah. They will never leave them. They will never leave. Meaning there will be some people who always are tried by these affairs, these four traits. even though they're believers, even though they are believers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned al-fakhru bil-ahsab, wa-ta'nu fil-ansab, wa-istisqa'u bil-nujumi wa-niyaha. And that is to boast and brag about the feats of the forefathers and one's tribe and the likes like this, and likewise to find fault with the lineage, the people's lineage, and their tribes and their forefathers, and to seek rain through the stars, and also to wail over the dead. So these are from the affairs of Al-Jahiliyyin. Al-Jahiliyyin is the time before Al-Islam. That's why it's called the pre-Islamic time. So this is the affairs of Al-Jahiliyyah. They're from the affairs of Al-Kufr. They're from the affairs of Al-Kufr. You understand that? These are issues of... So the one who's doing the affairs, these are issues of Kufr. So it's clear that a person, he could do an action of Kufr while he's a believer. While he's a believer. Because their actions of Kufr, like these issues from Al-Jahiliyyah, that are not of the level of major disbelief that take them out of Islam. Although some of these affairs here, they could take a person out of Islam if the creed was corrupted to an extent, like seeking rain from the stars, or believing or ascribing the rain to the stars. We have seen the details of this, but the point is now, also in Sahih Muslim from the Hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ithnatani fi nasi hum bihim kufrun, hum bihim kufrun, al kufr or kufrun." Kufrun, nakira, huh? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there are two things amongst the people that with regards to them, they are kufr, kufrun, kufrun. And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at-ta'nu fi an-nasab wan-niyaha 'ala al-mayyit, to find fault with the lineage and to wail over the deceased. So this is to emphasize that these affairs of the jahiliyyah, these are the same issues here. Two of those same four that were mentioned before from the affairs of Jahiliyyah, in this ummah, they'll never leave them. And some people will continue to be tried by them, although they're from this ummah. And the Prophet ﷺ considered two of them here to be kufrun. Kufrun, along with the fact that there are Muslims that do that. So meaning that these are from the deeds of the people of kufr. These are from the ways of the people of Jahiliyyah. This is from the manners of the kufr and the people of Jahiliyyah. Not meaning that the one who does them, he has disbelieved. Not meaning that the one who does them has the evidences to affirm that affair. So again, the way of the people of Sunnah, alhamdulillah, the way of the people of the Sunnah, alhamdulillah, in dealing with the text of the book and the Sunnah, is that they look at all of them, not just one. They look at all of the texts in particular issues, and from here, and observing and examining all of the texts, the Quran and the authentic texts from the Sunnah, and likewise the understanding of the Sahaba and the scholars of Hadith from the first and early generations, they look at all of these evidences, and then from here they're able to see the pure truth. But those who neglect this methodology and they look at one aspect and neglect the other, they look at one aspect and they fail to look at another, then this is why they deviate, or they have a bad understanding. And again, also we have seen the example of that in the debate of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, how he came with a very wide perspective of understanding these affairs and refuting the doubts that they had with regards to why they blamed Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. So again, knowledge is light, and it makes your chest big, and you're able to deal with a lot of things. And if it's strong and good and profound, a person, he'll be able to handle a lot of problems and troubles in the most noble and beneficial manner. But if his knowledge is little, then his chest is tight, and the littlest things will disturb him and bother him, and many times he'll misunderstand and think things are wrong whenever they're not wrong, or think things are bad whenever they are not bad. Kamen أعبن قولا صحيحا وعافته في الفهم السقيمي. How many people find fault with the correct statement, and the illness is found in the foul understanding, in the sick understanding. So we should strive with sincere faith to seek knowledge and learn, and to apply whatever we know from the book and the Sunnah and the way of the Sahaba, hoping for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is success, and this is the path to paradise. And the proof?
Path.
أحسنت. حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه من صحيح مسلم: من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علم طريقا إلى الجنة. Then whoever sets out on a path seeking knowledge therein, then Allah will facilitate and make easy for him by way of that a path to Al-Jannah. May Allah make easy for us and our loved ones and all of the believers a path to Jannah. The shahid in this narration is the last point here, and he meaning that the three people, three types of people, the most successful to Allah from the people of sin and transgression, were muttalibun, muttalibu dam imri'in bi'in bi'ghayri haq, wa muttalibu dam imri'in bi'ghayri haqin la yuhiqa dama, blood of a person without right. The one who's seeking after a person to shed his blood without right. Without right. So this is again clarification of the severity of this affair. It's not allowed. It's not allowed to shed a person's blood without right. The author, he says, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى الْحُرُّ بِالْحُرِّ وَالْعَبْدُ بِالْعَبْدِ وَالْأُنْثَى بِالْأُنْثَى فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَاءٌ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ ذَلِكَ تَخْفِيفٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ فَمَنْ اعْتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah the Almighty, he says, the meaning of which is, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. O you who believe. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he gave us some great advice with regards to verses that began in this manner. What was that? فَأَرْعِي لَهَا سَمْعَكَ. Listen attentively. فَإِنَّمَا يكون فَإِمَّا أَن يَكُونَ خَيْرٌ فَإِمَّا أَن يَكُونَ خَيْرٌ يَأْمُرُ بِهِ وَإِمَّا أَن يَكُونَ شَرًّا يَنْهَى عَنْهُ. It's either going to be some good that he will order or some evil that he will forbid. So here the address is to who? All of mankind? To the disbelievers? Ahl al-Kitab? To who? To the believers. So Allah is addressing the believers by the name of Iman. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. This is an important point. Then Allah, he says, O you who believe. Al-Qisas, the law of equality and punishment, is prescribed for you in the case of murder. The free for the free, the slave for the slave, and the female for the female. But if the killer is forgiven by his brother, or any meaning his brother, any the one he's by his brother or the relatives of those people who are considered his brothers of the killed against blood money, then grant pardon with reasonable demand and pay the blood money with good conduct. This is an alleviation and a mercy from your Lord. So after this, whoever transgresses the limits, he shall have a painful torment, and there is a saving of life for you in Qisas, O men of understanding, that you may become pious, that you may fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here is a great benefit that there's the law of Qisas, and he meaning that this is a major affair that is not left. If a person takes a life unlawfully, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned, an-nafsu bin-nafs, la yihillu dam imri'in muslimin illa bi-ihda thalath. And the first one, an-nafsu bin-nafs, an-nafsu bin-nafs. So this is the case of that clarified in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is to emphasize that it's prescribed for you in the case of murder, the law of equality. The law of equality, meaning if a person, he kills someone intentionally and he's taken to court for that and he's found guilty, then the awliya of the one who was killed, they have three choices in front of them. Any of the male relatives of the one who was killed, they have three choices in front of them. Either they're going to take the law of Qisas, and that man, his life will be taken at the hands of a Muslim judge, and the Muslim authority, they will handle that. They will handle that, and his life will be taken for the life that he took. Or they can pardon, they can back down from that and take the blood money, and his life will not be taken, but he will pay blood money in place of that. Or they can pardon him and forgive him altogether. Or they can pardon him and forgive him altogether. So this is the choice that the one who was murdered, his family has. Any of the male family members, they have with regards to this. Either they can call for his life to be taken, or they can pardon him from that and take the blood money in place, or they can pardon him or forgive him altogether. And forgive him altogether. All of this is to clarify the severity of taking the life of another soul unlawfully. But here there's a great benefit, and that is that Allah, he says, فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ So here, and whoever is pardoned by his brother, something, he's pardoned by his brother, the one who is killed, he's shown pardon from his brother, and he from the brothers, his brother from the from the relatives of the one he murdered. If they pardon him, then meaning if they pardon him and go to the diyah, the blood money, and the likes like this, then he should follow that up properly, and he should pay the blood money. He should pay the blood money. But the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he considered the relatives of the one murdered to be brothers with the one who murdered him. He considered subhanahu wa ta'ala the relatives of the one who was murdered to be brothers with the one who murdered him. They're still brothers, although he committed murder. فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَاءٌ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ ذَلِكَ تَخْفِيفٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ So this is another clarification. This is another clarification that although it's a major sin and it's something very drastic and severe, it's lesser than major disbelief and does not take a person out of Islam. Because Allah, He did not remove this person from the fold of Al-Iman. First, this issue here is being addressed to the believers. Oh, you who believe. Oh, you who believe. So Allah did not expel the one who killed and committed murder from that address. So therefore, he's still a believer. And then on top of that, Allah considered the one who murdered to be brothers with the relatives of the one he murdered. Any brothers, the people of God, as I mentioned, al-akhuwa, al-dini, brothers in religion. Brothers in religion. So therefore, his iman, no doubt, if he committed murder in this manner, it will be affected in a great manner, although it will not be uprooted from the foundation. Although it will not be uprooted from the foundation. Alhamdulillah. So this is a clarification of the proper understanding of these evidences and refutation for the deviant ideology and methodology of the Khawarij. And likewise as well, a refutation of the deviant ideology and methodology of the Murji'ah. Of the Murji'a. So these sins, they have an effect. These sins, they have a great effect on the Iman. But if the sins are lesser than major disbelief, they do not uproot the Iman from its foundation. They do not uproot the Iman from its foundation. So there's a moderate path. That's the path of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah. And that is that the major sins, they affect a person's faith, but they do not invalidate it. The Khawarij, they claim that the major sins invalidate the faith. And the Murji'a, they claim that the major sins, they do not affect the faith whatsoever. And Ahl Sunnah, they clarify after studying all of the texts and evidences of the book and the Sunnah that the major sins, they have an effect on the faith. They have a great effect on the faith, weakening it, but they do not uproot it from the foundation. So from here, we have al-mu'min kamil iman, and we have mu'min naqis al-iman. We have a believer who has complete faith, and we have a believer who has deficient faith. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم